Hello, everyone. This is Kevin Navratil. I'm a political science professor at Moraine Valley Community College, and I'm also the Democracy Commitment Coordinator. And in that role, I try to highlight civic opportunities and civic learning for our campus community. And recently, I've been trying to highlight some local leaders who do the really hard work of making democracy and society better. I've tried to, in recent months, try to feature an often neglected unit of government, which is school districts and their elected board. And I've been thinking how it'd be a great opportunity to meet some of our excellent Moraine Valley Board of Trustees and learn more about their public service position and all the talented individuals who we have here right in our community. They have really unique and extensive professional experiences that our campus has benefited from. And it's great to learn more about them. This fall, I was able to meet with Trustee Jacqueline O'Day. Last week, I was able to meet with Trustee Sullivan. And in a few days, I'm going to be talking with Trustee Patricia Joan Murphy. And today, I'm very grateful to be joined by one of Moraine Valley's Board of Trustees, Trustee Tiffany Robinson. Just a little bit about background about Trustee Robinson is she currently is a Spanish teacher at a Chicago public school, Dineen School of Excellence. She currently serves as a Moraine Valley Board of Trustee and also as a trustee for the Village of Robbins. She is a proud alum of Moraine Valley and the first non-white member to serve as a Moraine Valley Board of Trustees. For those of you who listened last week to my first podcast, you may recall how Trustee Sullivan referred to Trustee Robinson as a dynamic, energetic powerhouse of a person. So today, I'm very honored and pleasured to have the ability to talk with this powerhouse of a person, Trustee Robinson. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you for having me.
So I've got a lot of questions. We'll see if we can get to, we'll get to as many as we possibly can, but I just wanted to start off right from the beginning. You served as a Moraine Valley student trustee when you were a student at Moraine, and you've currently got two public positions that I just mentioned earlier. What made you get this interest in public affairs and being a leader, and when did that start and why?
So I actually ran to be the student trustee and I lost. However, I did run for the Student Government Association's president and I won. And I was 29 years old. I was pregnant with my daughter. I was very motivated by the energy on the campus at that particular time, the students. I felt that although I was about 10 years older than most students at the time, I fit right in with them. And so I was motivated by policy and to actually allow students' voices to be heard. On the flip side, when we're talking about the Village of Robbins and running in that actual campaign, I actually started out, I was supposed to be the campaign manager, like the secretary. And then our current mayor, he said, Trustee, or Tiffany, you need to run to be trustee. And I'm like, I don't even know if I really want to do this. But I've always been involved ever since I was in junior high school in Robbins at Keller Middle School. And then when I went to Eisenhower High School, I was even more involved. So I thought about people needing good representation. I ran. I actually serve as the first bilingual trustee in the Village of Robbins. And right now we have a high population of Spanish speakers in our community. And so sometimes when people say you were born for a time such as this, I don't think of it as being cliche. And I was able to pick up on the ability to speak Spanish by being the only African-American on my soccer team in high school at Eisenhower. And now I'm able to actually capitalize on those times as a Spanish teacher, in which I took the 18 credit hours to even be able to teach that right here at Moraine Valley. So this is full circle, and I'm super excited to have this conversation with you today.
Awesome. There's so many different things I'd like to follow up on. Just a couple that came to my mind. For anybody listening, you know, as a returning student, being 29 years old and you're pregnant. Sometimes people, like myself included, I'm like, I could never run for anything. I'm too busy. I've got this going on. And you shattered all of those potential hurdles and, you know, didn't let those stand in your way because of your why. It seemed like you're really motivated in policy and making things better for people. And I just find that really inspirational. And I hope others follow in your footsteps. And then that second piece of just like how that additional minor might, you know, you're like, I don't want to take those extra classes now as a student, and I just want to graduate and move on. And yet you never know how those, you know, an extra, you know, certificate, extra degree might play out in the future of your life.
This is very true. And it was, the proof was in the pudding when I returned. And then once I left Moraine, I was definitely prepared for Trinity Christian College, which is where I received my bachelor's degree. And I was very grateful for the college. And at the time, Dr. Kitty Kuzma, she was my Spanish professor. And I will forever be grateful for her.
It's outstanding. And, you know, we all know that teacher who's made a difference in our lives, and you know, they really kind of change our trajectory. So, you know, being the first minority to serve as a trustee at Moraine Valley, what does that mean to you, and what do you think it means to our college and our community?
I think that change is always inevitable. Times have to change. We definitely need to have representation. And you know what? So I am a Black woman. However, I represent everyone, not just Black people, white people, yellow people, green people, if they're out there. I represent everyone. I've had some amazing experiences that make me a well-rounded individual, where I know when I speak, I'm not just speaking for the Black community, I'm speaking for all communities. Representation is a must, period. We have to make sure we have women, people of color, people not of color. I was recently nominated and selected to be a part of the National Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee for the Association of Community Colleges. And I really take pride in that. Number one, as a trustee representing Moraine Valley Community College, because we are a dynamic institution. I was a student here, so I'm not just saying it. And I cannot brown nose, because my nose is already naturally brown. And so I think it's important that we just have representation. You know, our experiences are all different, and we want to make sure that everyone is represented at the table. And I honestly believe that you don't have to be a Black person to represent, you know, white people and vice versa. Like, you can just represent people because you believe in people, you love people, and you just want to work for the people.
You know, that's just a very excellent response, and it makes me think of a lot of different directions. And in a previous podcast, with Trustee Sullivan, and also with my conversation with Trustee O'Day, I was trying to talk in part because I hope my American government students, when they listen to this, they kind of get that idea of, like, in leadership, according to our textbook, there's different ways of representing our constituents, of, you know, doing what we think is best as a leader because of your extensive knowledge and experience, or kind of doing what the majority of your constituents want. But there's another form that my textbook rarely ever, most textbooks just ignore, and that is descriptive representation. And that is to say, like, you know, as Congress, if it's 80% male and 85% white or something like that, and this, you know, 90% upper middle class, what does that mean if Congress or our elected officials doesn't really look like America? And we talk about how there's, you know, you don't have to share physical characteristics or a specific identity to represent certain groups. And so you already touched upon that. But yet there is this aspect of, like, wow, when I look at government, government doesn't look like me. And that, I think, can matter too, where people just feel like institutions and positions of power and just are not really reflective of all the different not just identity groups, but maybe even socioeconomic classes and so forth. Do you see it that way?
Yes and no. And so the reality is the reality, right? But if you want it to change, you have to get involved. That's just the end all be all. You have to get involved. We can't be scared. We have to take risk and chances. You know, when I came back to Moraine Valley, I already had three children. So Tiffany was the fourth one who I was actually pregnant with when I returned. And it was because I made a decision. And so when we want to change our lives or to even change policy, wherever you are, whether it's on a local level, state level, or federal level, you have to get involved. You have to let your voice be heard. When I went to Washington, D.C. for the legislative congressional conference and I represented the college, I had an opportunity to speak to members of Congress. And as soon as I finished speaking, Dick Durbin turned and looked at Senator Durbin, turned and looked at the rest of the people from Moraine that was there with me and said, hey, you know, I want to take her on the road with me. Senator Durbin is a white man. You know, we don't see color. We see opportunity to advocate, to get the word out, to be able to speak on behalf of people. Sometimes you're the one that actually has the seat at the table. They don't have the seat at the table. So that's your opportunity to speak up for other people. It's never about me. It's about we. You know, it's about everyone else. Here at the college, we are a part of 26 different communities. In the Village of Robbins, I'm representing a little less than 6,000 people. In both seats, I'm not thinking about what I want. I'm thinking about what is the best for the greater good of all the people.
Wow. That's the type of leadership we need, and more people, you know, having that perspective, I think would benefit our society. You know, speaking of which, you know, last spring I had the opportunity, I was at a board meeting, and there were several students who were highlighted for awards that they had won. And I can just say how awesome it was that you could see how authentically excited board members were for the students to receive those awards. And I recall you beaming almost like a proud parent, you know. And so can you just tell me a little bit about that? Like, you know, you've been a student here, you're a trustee. In watching students succeed, what do you make of that?
You know what? I was a proud parent. You know, as a trustee, we're stewards, like parents. Parents are stewards over their children, right? And even though our students are adults, they're not children, we are the caretakers of their dreams. So parents are caretakers. We have to take care of our students. That's what equates to high student retention. Students, word of mouth, letting others know. So when they receive those awards, it's a direct reflection of us as well, because they are members of our community college. And so when we say Moraine Valley Community College, it's communal. And so I don't know if they had people there or not. You know, it's our job to be invested in every single area. I'm so proud of this board. You know, we do a lot of things that I know are different because people tell us all the time. We go to basketball games. We've showed up to we weren't going to actually do the 5K, but I told them, I'm like, you know what, guys, let's just do this. So everyone stayed. Even Trustee Murphy, he stayed too, and we all walked together. It was so cool. I'm like, we don't have to run, but as long as we finish this race together, that's all that matters. And we did. So I think it's important that we show our face. I think it's important that we show our interest and that we are proud of our students, because guess what? They're making us look good as well and continuously putting us on the map. So it's our due diligence as trustees to make sure that we give them our undivided attention, especially when they're being honored. I literally was a proud parent.
Yeah, I love it. And being out in the community and being together as a board, you know, I know you've been on the board a fairly short time. Was it last January?
Yes, January 31st of 2023.
Awesome. You know, spending time together, working together, and, you know, being in the community together, you feel like that has the, you know, one of the things where I'm going with this question, sometimes I feel like part of our polarization is we don't spend time together. And I think whenever we work on projects together and we spend more time, even people who might have very different political beliefs, we see the humanity in each other. We see the shared goals, and the more we're working together on these like-minded goals, that it's going to bring us together. Do you see that in the year and a half that you've been on the board, and you know, being able to work by having that extra time together, that it's bringing you closer together?
Absolutely. You know, I have served on multiple boards. This literally is the best board that I've worked on collectively in such a short amount of time. We have some people here that already have experience, and so they're willing to teach. You know, I'm an educator, so I like to consider myself as a lifetime learner for real. I can learn from anyone at any given time. And you have to spend time with each other. We know that every third Tuesday we're going to meet here, and maybe we might have some special meetings, you know, such as like the Dicenio Committee or something like that. But we also know that we have our game faces on board meeting day, right? But we're human. You know, we like music. We like to walk, talk, eat, enjoy each other's company. You have to get to know the people that you're working with in order to be effective as a team.
100% agree. I think that's a really important trait and something that, you know, more of us need to do. And I've been, you know, kind of jumping around here, but I want to get back when you were a student, when you're a potential student, you're looking around. Like, what made you choose Moraine Valley and when you were in that process?
It was scheduling. You know, I was working District 218 as a teacher assistant. And then I knew I've always wanted to be a teacher. And I won the Golden Apple Award when I was in high school in 1996. And so I never wanted to give up on that. And at the time, the college's educational programming was actually changing, where they were literally investing and explicitly preparing teachers through like teacher preparation. And so that was one of the factors, but the scheduling was another factor. And so I could pick my own schedule. There were days where I could be here during the daytime, which was awesome. There were times where I had to take night classes. It was the flexibility. The staff, I can say, were super amazing. I even started to work for the college. And at the time, I was on a lot of different social programs. Like, I had food stamps. I had WIC. I had a housing choice voucher. I even lived in what we called in Robbins the Projects. So it was low income subsidized housing. So it all worked for me to be able to get to where I am today. And I feel emotional even, you know, just like reflecting on that, because it was a real thing. But the support here at the college was phenomenal.
Awesome. I'm so glad to hear that, and how the college flexibility of schedule and the excellent people that we have here were able to, you know, make it welcoming and a place to bringing out the potential. I think it's just one of those things where there's so many people who have the potential to really thrive. And sometimes there's not the support network. Sometimes, whether it's government programs and, funding, where people are able to thrive because they were supported, and how many people might be left behind because of that. And so it's just such a, awesome story to hear about how, you know, you were able to bring out more of your potential and being able to come to Moraine.
No, absolutely. And I was also part of the TRIO program. And so Misty Williams, you know, and I still talk to her to this day. She was definitely very instrumental. I went on my first trip outside of the United States with TRIO. We went to Canada. That kind of inspired me to want to travel even more. So I do travel out the country, you know, at least a couple times out of the year. And I just think that we need experiences. We need people that are going to say, hey, you know what? Like, you can do this. Demetrius Robinson, he worked here as well. He was the director of student life. So he got me really involved. And then I became a member of Phi Theta Kappa. And I still have my photo over in the U building upstairs on the wall as one of the academic recipients for USA Today through Phi Theta Kappa. And so sometimes you need people to be catalysts in your life to help you see, like, you know what? Wait, there is more. And even when I was a student here, I was involved in a lot of organizations, even organizations that culturally were not like a part of like my culture at that moment. But because I was a student at Moraine, I even know how to speak a little bit of Arabic. You know, I saw students sitting outside. I was so happy to come here today. I spoke to every single student that I saw. I let them know that I was a trustee. The first young lady that I saw, she said, "You look so beautiful." I said, "Do you speak Arabic?" She says, "Yes." I said, "Shokran." And she looked at me and I said, "I'm one of the trustees, but I was also a student here." And the way she was looking at me as I walked off, I know that had an effect on her. And that's what we're supposed to do. We need to make sure we share our real stories with people so they'll know, like, I see these people here, sitting here, having this meeting. Their beautiful pictures are on the wall in the D building. But we all come from a space and place, and we have a story and a real story to share. So I hope people are motivated.
Wow, there's so much there. Making the connections that you made while you're on campus, despite being busy, you became very integrated to, you know, student activities and clubs. And I think, you know, so many students today, you know, they might drive in and leave and not be part of the campus life and different groups and clubs. And then, just that making students feel like they belong and I see you and, connecting to them and letting them know that they're seen and that, you know, you support them. I think that's just really, it's really powerful that, as a trustee that you're making that effort. I just want to, really highlight that.
On election day, I was doing just a ride around in the Village of Robbins, stopping, checking, making sure that everyone at the polling places were okay, like if they needed water, if they were hungry or whatever. So I stopped at the community center. I was walking out and then I saw a young man walking up. So I asked him, I said, are you looking to go and vote? And he says, "No, I am one of like the technicians for the machinery." And we got to talking and he told me that he's a student at Moraine Valley too. And I said, "Oh my God, like I'm talking to this kid now for about 30 minutes. We ended up connecting on social media. I gave him my personal number. I said, "Here's my card for the college, but this email, it's a general email for everyone. Like, here's my email." I was super excited, and he told me that he was able to have that opportunity through the college to be able to work the elections. And so he was just stopping to check to make sure their equipment was working right and that they did not have any, like, technological malfunctions. But it was so cool. And then I told him, I said, "I used to be a student at Moraine Valley." And he was like, "You are dope." The young man, he was like, "This is so cool. Like, God bless you." Like, he was basically praying me into my car and I received it, you know. And I told him, I asked him, I said, how do you speak any other languages? And he said, "Yes, I speak Arabic and English." So then I had to show him what I knew only because I learned everything that I know in Arabic from the college. And I still remember
the connections that you make in our community. You know, we could probably go on and on. I mean, you're really the way that you're able to reach people, connect to them. And also just, you know, I know we've had a election training program on our campus. And if I'm not mistaken, one of our trustees, Patricia Murphy, may have helped bring that to our campus in training people. And, you know, you're just highlighting how diverse our offerings are and all the different opportunities we have on our campus to really bring out the best in people and make them, you know, that's the practice of democracy, you know, running elections. It takes a village to run these elections and a lot of volunteers, a lot of hard workers and paid workers to be able to pull that off. One of the things that I've been thinking about is, you know, you talked earlier about how, you know, you came back to school as a parent and returning student. What do you think colleges like Moraine can do to attract and retain potential students who want to gain an education or improve their skills, but maybe they're just like nervous to come back to school and they're wondering like, am I going to fit in? And, you know, did I miss my opportunity and things like that?
I think one thing that we can do is definitely more marketing. Like, we have to be out there so people know that we're here in Palos Hills and that we have a beautiful campus. But I think that we need to be more in the forefront of people. So I remember when I was a student here, you know, I did a lot of marketing and advertising. Like, people would see me everywhere. People would call me all times of the day and night. Like, I just saw you from Moraine Valley on WICU, the U or whatever it was at the time. I just saw you on a billboard. So that sparked people's interest. Like, why are they highlighting you? What did you do? Well, I was a student leadership award winner at the time. But I think one thing for me was people were able to identify how they could actually help me be a successful student here. So I think we need to get to the root cause of what actually stops people from thinking about taking that next step to even come into the community college, maybe like a soft survey or something along those lines. Just kind of asking, because I know that we are so well-rounded here in our programming and offerings. There's something for everybody, whether they're going into, you know, workforce development, whether they want to, you know, achieve like a certificate type program, if they want nursing, if they want to be a radiologist, a phlebotomist, massage therapy, if they want to transfer. We even have programs where you could transfer seamlessly from our college to Morehouse, from our college to Governor State University. So I think we need to really look at what some of the root causes are that are preventing students from actually coming. Could it be anxiousness? Absolutely. You know, especially for people that haven't been in school in a while and maybe school wasn't their thing, you know, but I think that we have the right components in place, but I think we really need to do a huge campaign and let people know what we have to offer. Yeah,
very well said. And you've got an extensive experience as an educator. I'm an educator. So teacher to teacher, what do you think are some of the most important traits for successful educators? And perhaps what can we do to support educators to make them excel?
Well, as an educator, we have to have empathy. You know, I think empathy, I don't want to say that it solves everything, but it allows you to have more grace in your heart. It allows you to extend mercy towards people. We never know what people are going through, right? And maybe a small gesture of just showing some grace, mercy, and empathy towards them will allow them to feel like, you know what? I might have had a bad day or a bad week or whatever, you know, but I can do this. I am going to recover. And what was the second part of your question?
Well, just how we can support educators. You know, you've been in education. What are some ways that maybe government or institutions, what do we need to do to make teachers more successful? You know, is it funding? Is it removing roadblocks?
It's a multitude of things. So I do believe that funding is one component. All educators feel like we deserve more, right? So we're the pipeline to all these people out here that are successful, making millions. And it's just the reality of it. You know, we have people making millions, professional athletes. I get it. But I feel like I've been trained to reign too. You know, like, we've been through some rigorous programming, you know, to be able to be here. Outside of that, I think that training is a must. So right now, you know, I feel that we could do better in the educational system. I teach in Chicago Public Schools. you know, I'm very blessed that I work at a very dynamic school with every teacher there is excellent. Trust me, if they're not excellent, they will not last because it's a very high society when it comes to education. We don't play and we make sure that that's understood. You know, usually after my third year, I'm ready to go to another school, right? Because I feel like I just want to move around to help. But this is definitely my last school where I'm currently teaching. And it's because I have the support that I need. Like, I don't want for anything. And I'm on the south side of Chicago. My school is located right there at 73rd and State Street. So my students, they come from Chatham, Auburn Gresham, Inglewood, Mountain Park, just all the neighborhoods that are, you know, intertwined right there. But it's the support. And sometimes teachers are burnt out quickly because they feel unsupported in many, many ways. And so I think the system really needs to think about, like, the teacher's mental capacity too, because there's a lot of things going on in the world today. My neighborhood where I teach, you know, there's a lot of violence. Our college, we have our own special situation, you know, with what's going on in between Palestine and Israel, you know, so we have to be very sensitive. We have to let everyone know, regardless of how you feel, like, we are here for you. And so as educators, it takes a certain level of support too, you know, from like the college or even school boards to say, like, you know what, we have your back and we want you guys to know that we want you to be fully still invested in your students and that we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that you are straight, because we're the ones that have to facilitate a lot of these conversations and it can get pretty heated. But we want everyone to feel that they are valid, that they are loved and well cared for. And that's one thing that I love about being a trustee. I told you, we are the caretakers of the dreams that everyone has here. And it's our job to make sure that if they want to cross the stage, they cross the stage. If they just want to come and take a couple of courses, we treat them well and we make sure they know that they're supported, but we also in turn need the same support too.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of takeaways there. I just want to connect a couple dots that I took real quick is, you know, it isn't so much of what an educator knows, but how they're able to connect to their students with the empathy, and you mentioned more grace in connection and throughout, you know, at me knowing you and our time today, you've done that multiple times of telling those stories of how you connect to people in our community and students and how that's important, but also how, you know, the educator, the teacher needs to have their cup full too before you can maybe be fully empathetic. You have to feel supported yourself, and how that has to come from the school and the in our, you know, communities and government. Just to tie a little bit more in education, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges facing higher educations higher education and community colleges in particular?
Well, I think funding is definitely one of the areas, especially in terms of, say, health sciences. So I'd like to see us be able to offer, you know, more spots, but in certain programs, but we know that there are a multitude of things that accompany that, right? So if they can get the clinicals, but I feel that if the funding was there, money talks, people will make room for revenue. It's a no-brainer. And so we do have to put more pressure on our members of legislation in Springfield as well as at the federal level. We did have conversations with all of our members of Congress that represent the college in Washington a couple of months ago, and they were very, very receptive. They listened to us. I know they love Moraine Valley. And I'm not just saying that, you guys. They love us. And we let our requests be known, what we're asking for, the college asked specifically. But funding is probably like one of the largest hurdles. And then I will also jump out there and say, this whole battle with dual credits right now, we need to really look at that legislation. We need to be able to be a little bit more flexible. We know that a lot of teachers are not willing to take out additional loans because they probably already have $100,000 worth of loans. So who wants to take out an additional loan to become certified or to say I've mastered a certain content area? There are teachers out here that could prove to us with the amount of service hours that they have already provided that they can actually teach a content area. We need this because that will in turn help with our enrollment. And we can see that enrollment, it is back on an upswing, but it's back on a very slow upswing. I remember when I was a student here and everyone was so excited that we had over 20,000 students. That's huge for a community college. We have multiple campuses. So we have Blue Island, we have SWEC, we have this campus here. But at the end of the day, we need to keep those buildings running. It's going to cost money to keep the buildings fully functioning. To our landscaping is amazing. It all comes down to cost. So we need to be able to find a very, very happy medium where, you know, they're looking at these colleges and saying, hey, we do need to give them some additional funding. And maybe that will in turn help some people who are just like right on that borderline. And so they're on the borderline income wise, and maybe they do have to pay something. But that's what I love about our scholarship foundation. There's a lot of opportunity to earn money here. But I think the bottom line is the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, I kind of going over here with my time of, and there's so many more things I'd like to ask you, but since I am over time, is there one thing you would like listeners of this podcast to know about Trustee Robinson that we didn't get an opportunity to talk about already?
Oh, wow. That's a fully loaded question. Something that I did not cover.
Yeah, just something that maybe you'd want people to know about you that we haven't talked about already, because, you know, this 37 minutes can't fully do Trustee Robinson or any of the trustees justice that they deserve in terms of everything in their background, everything about you. And so is there just anything that we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about, or that people might need to know about you, and or any final thoughts or questions?
Well, I'm a mom of four, just to be clear, and I do have a grandboy. His name is Royce. He's one. He was born the day after my birthday, and so I'm super excited. But the one thing that I do want to leave you guys with is always follow your dreams, no matter what. I don't care what hurdles you have. There will be someone, and I feel emotional again.
Trustee Robinson, it's been a pleasure. And you know, I've been to nearly every graduation in the last 18 years that I've been here. And I'll never forget your speech that you gave at our graduation when you were a student. You know, it's I'm truly inspired by you and all that you do. And I just really appreciate not only you serving Moraine Valley and our board of trustees, but also for taking the time today and to volunteer your time to you know, share your expertise and this podcast. So thanks again.
Thank you. I appreciate you for catching me right there. So I had a real moment, people. I had a real moment, but just know I'm grateful for the college. Always follow your dreams. Never give up. And just know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Make connections and always be genuine to yourself and be genuine with other people, and it will take you so far in life.
Thank you again, Trustee Robinson. And thank you to the listeners. See you again. Hear you again.